I wanted to refer again to the whole megachurch and gigachurch movement, and I'm going to be referring now to this book, Hidden Heresy, by Elder Mostert. And we want to talk about the strategy behind this, and I think it's a brilliant one, actually, that the enemy has come up with. And I mentioned earlier, I'll say this again, the difference between a megachurch and a gigachurch is a megachurch, well, megachurches, it was the only term we had for a long time, just these huge churches, generally of 2,000 or more people. But now we're seeing such gigantic churches that they've coined a new term, and that's gigachurch, for 10,000 or more. On page 30 of this book, Hidden Heresy, Elder Mostert tallies up the various places in the United States that have high concentrations of mega and giga churches. And what do you suppose heads the list? Which state in the United States has the most mega churches or giga churches, would you suppose? California. Well, you got that right. We're in California. California boasts 125 mega or giga churches, which is pretty amazing. Now, he says there are 820 mega or giga churches in the United States. That means 820 churches with 2,000 or more members, and the numbers are pretty staggering if you start to put that together. Now, let me just read a few of these names. This morning, I mentioned Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in the United States, the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. At the time of this book, it was believed his church had about 30,000 or about 30,000 were at least showing up each week. And at some point, it seems that I heard that they were expecting that even to approach 50,000 one weekend. Let's see. Let me go through the list here. Some of these names you're going to recognize. You see these names on the covers of books at Barnes & Noble and Borders Bookstore and other bookstores in malls. They're in the marketplace now with their books. Joel Osteen is one of them. Here's another name. You've probably seen his face on books in bookstores, T.D. Jakes. In 1979, Bishop Jakes founded Greater Emmanuel Temple of Faith, a small storefront church in Montgomery, West Virginia, that originated with only 10 members in 1979. In only 5 years since relocating the church from West Virginia to Dallas, Texas, the Potter's House grew from 50 families to more than 28,000 members. 28,000 members under one congregation. Chuck Smith, I'm sure you've heard that name, Calvary Chapel, located on 11 acres in Costa Mesa, California. In the past 3 decades, his church has grown from only 25 to 25,000 members. Now, when we say, we're not talking about, you know, all over the place, we're talking about in one congregation, all right? It has as many as 30,000 people in its congregation each week. Almost 700 affiliated Calvary chapels throughout America and the rest of the world. Here's another name you might have heard of, Bishop Eddie Long. He pastors the 25,000-member church called New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. Creflo Dollar, have you heard that name? World Changers Ministries, a global ministry organization anchored by 23,500-member World Changers. These are massive churches of over 20,000 members. We've already talked about Rick Warren, who claims to have over 22,000 members in that congregation. He's got a mailing list of over 80,000 names. And we already talked about the purpose-driven life. You know, it started with the purpose-driven church. I'll never forget one day when I was doing my pastoral duty and I was following up on a member transfer letter. And I called the pastor from the church that was where this family was transferring from. And as I visited with this pastor, that was actually my introduction to the purpose-driven church. This older pastor said, "Dave, I wish I'd found out about this 30 years ago." Now, this was quite a few years back. I had never heard of Rick Warren. I'd never heard of Saddleback, and I'd never heard of the purpose-driven church. And that was the first book he wrote, by the way. It was The Purpose-Driven Church. Then later, his youth pastor came out with a book called The Purpose-Driven Youth Group. And then finally, we got to The Purpose-Driven Life. But this pastor told me, and this is what happens. This is what happens. He told me how he'd walked into Saddleback, and he saw thousands and thousands of people attending worship. And he thought to himself, what are we going to do? He had a heart for evangelism. And he thought to himself, I want to see thousands in our churches. Hey, wouldn't you like to see thousands in our churches? We'd like to see it if they would accept the truth. And so he said, I want to find out what this man is all about. And he started attending his training sessions. He got his books. And so, no surprise, guess where what I did? I went down to the bookstore and I picked up the Purpose Driven Church book to take a look at it. You know, it's interesting. He has a website, Rick Warren, called, I think it's called pastor.com. And Elder Mostert points out in his book that many Seventh-day Adventist pastors are now buying their sermons from pastor.com. You know, pastors can buy Rick Warren's sermons and then turn around and preach them, use the titles. And Elder Mostert says in many cases they're using the very same titles, publishing them on their church web pages and in their church bulletins, not even changing the titles. And he says here on page 34, hundreds of Adventist churches are studying this book, The Purpose-Driven Life, or have been. And Elder Mostert ends up with these words, this one pastor is a force to be reckoned with. There are other names here on this list. Bill Hybels, I mentioned, Willow Creek Community, has as many as 17,000 in attendance each week, claims to have about 10,000 members in that church family. Well, we don't need to go through all of these. What would be the point? Well, before I get to that, I want to read something here very interesting. This is on page 41 of the book, Hidden Heresy. Elder Mostert has this to say. In the light of what we know is coming, let's take a closer look at the nature and thinking of the three gigachurches most studied by Adventist ministers in the United States. What do you guess the top three, that seem to have the most influence on Adventist churches is? I'll just read it to you. Saddleback, number one, that's purpose-driven. Willow Creek, number two, and number three, Crystal Cathedral. That's right. And he goes on to say this, although many megachurches and gigachurches are out there, Adventists tend to turn away from those that are Pentecostal in nature. It is clear to most Adventists that faith healing and speaking in tongues is not the model for us to follow. The African-American megachurches and gigachurches have some features that we sometimes copy, but no one church seems to have become a model in light of the runaway success of the two purpose-driven books. Saddleback is now the church model that is most copied. Well, what would be the point of all of this? What would be the point of the enemy doing this? There's something very interesting that's happening. If you start to do the math on the 820 mega and giga churches in America, it's pretty staggering. And here's the point. It's easier to move the masses if they're under fewer umbrellas. You with me? If you have a whole bunch of little congregations out there, that's kind of tough. But if you can channel the thinking of these masses by having all of the churches basically follow the leader, and you have hundreds of thousands and even millions coming under the roofs of these few mega congregations, it becomes very easy now to influence mass millions of Americans. And that's exactly what we understand prophetically is going to be happening in the coming days. Isn't that right? It says that it's the people who will demand the image to the beast. The people want it to happen. How are these masses going to be moved into that? Friends, it's shaping up right now, just perfectly.